Please pray with me. Lord, as we have gathered our bodies here this morning, let us now gather our hearts together and hear your word. Help us open our ears and our minds to your good news. Amen.
What is the most beautiful moment of your life? I've been thinking about this a lot, so I naturally went to Facebook to get some ideas. I was curious, what are people's most beautiful moments? And here are some of the answers that I got back. Waiting for each of your three children at the end of a ramp at O'Hare Airport as they were being adopted. Experiencing the Masters golf tournament with your father, or even getting your own hole-in-one. The birth of your children and grandchildren, it's usually a first response. Having your son's teacher hand you his school photo personally because he stood on his own for 1 minute to get that picture taken. That's something he had never done before. Holding someone's hand as they passed away, or seeing a loved one now at peace. A seashore moment, a trip of a lifetime, memories of your childhood that you hold in your heart as your happiest moments. Falling in love, weddings, especially those that were told that they could never marry, being able to get married right here with the support of their congregation. Seeing a symbol of someone that you've loved and that you've lost, a sign that they're still with you. Friends who've become family, and families that become family, although their skin colors don't match. But if you really think about it, some of the most beautiful moments have taken place where words have been spoken. Will you marry me? I love you. I'm proud of you. It's a girl, Dad. I forgive you. Being told in the tough times that the only way out of this is through this, and you can get through this. And your child smiling at you during dinner and announcing, I like having two mommies and two daddies. These words speak true beauty. We receive life where words are spoken. These words have cement so much in our lives and have true meaning and truth because they come from people that we trust and that we love. And sadly, we're living in a time where words are pretty cheap, where the truth doesn't seem to matter much as long as we hear what we want to hear. And words are always, sometimes, devastating, as we kind of witnessed this past week. As they say, words take on meaning by the company that they keep. It's so true in our lives today. If a politician is telling us something, we may not believe them because we know their game. They have an agenda, but when your child wraps their tiny arms around your neck and kind of slobbers in your ear that they love you, that is truth. Now, at the Council of Nicaea, the nature of Jesus was hotly debated. This was a big deal. They were discussing the relationship between the Father and Son, and wanted to know, was Jesus just this creature made by God, or was he true God? And today we have this Nicene Creed that we're going to read that came of this council. We're going to read after the sermon today. But in today's scripture, John knew. He knew the Word was God. It was always God to him. The Word was an intimate relationship of love, love with God. The scripture is so poetic and moving, and sometimes it's even astonishing. In Meditation for Christmas Day, William Austin says this, "The name Word is most excellently given to our Savior, for it expresses his nature in one more than any others. Therefore, John, when he names the person in the Trinity, chooses rather to call him Word than Son. For Word is a phrase more communicable than Son. Son hath only referenced the Father that begot him, but Word may refer to him that conceives it, to him that speaks it, to that which is spoken by it, to the voice that is clad in it, and to the effects it raises him that hears it. Now, John himself was sent from God, but he was never one who needed to be center stage. He was always focused on what God needed him to do rather than his own glory. But how often are we like this? How often do our words speak truth and only glorify God? Now, the words of the scripture today take on extra meaning because the company is God. He can express the inexpressible. God created everything by just simply speaking. Here, God's inner self, God's loving heart, God's eternal fellowship are spilling over, all while knowing the world will most likely completely miss the point. So John is telling us things that has lit theology on fire, making the word flesh. The word made flesh is grace, and flesh is God's glory. And Jesus wasn't pretending to be human. He really did enter into our weakness and our morality and our pain. The word made flesh is very full of grace and truth. And truth matters. It's the defense against evil. Truth is the ground of peace. And truth is a lot simpler than we think it is. I mean, just listen to John in the scripture. But we have to go beyond our own desires. We have to move from the things that make us comfortable to what is right. So last Sunday, I was watching the Golden Globe Awards, and I usually watch just to see what people are wearing and to see if my favorites win or to see who gets drunk and is on TV. But this year's awards had a little bit of a different tone. Everyone in the room was dressed in black, and men were wearing pins with the word Time's Up on them. There was a spirit of activism in the air, and it was pretty powerful to see. And I should note before we continue that people have opinions on celebrities getting involved in activism and politics, but I mean, where we are right now, the current leadership, we can't really use that excuse anymore. The argument does not hold up either because everyone has a voice. If you have a platform to spread love and peace and tolerance and everything that Jesus taught, then we should. So here we are at the Golden Globes, and it was powerful to see all of these people to say that they were no longer going to be silent on harassment and abuse and inequality. We were no longer going to keep things behind closed doors or be silent because these aren't things that we talk about. Oh, we're going to talk about them. For far too long, people were silent. And to help me explain this, I'm going to give you an analogy only Nash Miller's mom can, and that is through sports. So let's do this. All right. And I know what you're thinking. There's no way that I can go from like this Me Too, Time's Up movement to sports and then bring it back to Jesus, but we're going to try. All right, let's do it. And we're going to start with free throws. All right, so there's this guy back in the day, and you've probably heard of him, but Wilt Chamberlain, we've heard of him, right? So he was an NBA player who played the greatest game of basketball ever in 1962. He scored 100 points. And the guy was hungover from what I hear, so this is pretty good talent. He shot 87.5% from the foul line, which was insane because this guy was a horrible free throw shooter. Now, normally, he was great from every angle with guys all over him. But from the line, he was hopeless. But the season of this fateful game, Wilt decided to shoot his foul shots underhanded instead of releasing the ball up by his forehead. He shot granny style. We're all familiar with this, right? Where you shoot granny style? That's how I shoot basketball. All of a sudden, Wilt became an awesome free throw shooter. And 28 of his 100 points were from the foul line. Now, another former basketball player, Rick Barry, will tell you that this is the better way to make free throws. It's been statistically proven. And he should know he's one of the greatest foul shooters of all time. He missed 10 in one season and missed 9 in another season, and that's the worst he got. His career percentage was 89.3. Now, from a physics standpoint, this makes sense. Having your arms hanging down in relaxed position, you don't have to worry about your muscles getting tight or tense, and it's a softer shot. So Wilt shoots this game, and all of a sudden, he stops shooting free throws underhanded, just quits. You know what happens? He goes back to being a terrible shooter from the line, 40, 50%. He had a problem. He tested a solution. The solution worked. He has his biggest weakness fixed, but then he gives up on it. Makes no sense. And he isn't the only one. Shaquille O'Neal, I mean, the guy was called Hack-a-Shaq because he could not shoot from the line, and Rick Barry tried to get him to shoot underhanded, and Shaq said that he would rather make zero shots than shoot like that. LeBron James would have thousands more career points if he would only shoot underhanded from the line. No one shoots underhanded. One guy did back when he played with Rick Barry, and he went from shooting 48% to 80%. One current NBA player does it now. Nash told me this, but he's from another country. He wasn't raised here in the U.S. basketball system. Now, Rick said one NBA player recently came to him about his technique, and he worked with him, and he got the guy's percentage up, but the player never used it. And Rick refuses to tell the guy's name because it's some shameful secret to shoot underhanded. I do it all the time. I don't understand what's embarrassing. That's how I win pig. But why do some good ideas spread and others go absolutely nowhere? Ideally, good ideas spread because they're good and they bring out the best in us. But this isn't how it always works out. Why do we choose wrong? Now, sociologist Mark Granovetter suggests that it all comes down to thresholds. This is fascinating. What he means by this is that we have beliefs. These are positions we have taken in our hearts and in our heads. Our belief in God, for example. The threshold is external. Now, these are about peer pressure. These aren't beliefs. These are just all external things. Your threshold is the number of people that have to do something before you'll jump in. Now, sometimes belief and threshold overlaps, but a lot of the time they don't. So we make bad decisions all the time because it is the popular thing to do. And our thresholds are different. Now, we take my son, and his friends are out running around back and forth across the street in traffic. It's not going to take too long before he joins in. His friends are doing it. He's going to go do it, too. But if I tell Teresa over there, we're going to go play in traffic, it's probably going to take this room full of people and some family members and things to get out there and do it first before Teresa's going to join in. It's between having a low threshold and a high threshold. Teresa's going to have a low one. My son's going to have a high one. Now, there's research done by economists from Thaler and Massey on the NFL. We're going to do more sports here. Looking at the draft, the market says that the player in the first round of the draft is worth a half dozen second round picks. Half dozen. So they analyzed this assumption. And they found that half a dozen second round picks are more valuable if you take into account performance, pay, and the surplus the player provides that team. They say that teams should be trading their first round picks away and stockpile all these second round picks that are cheaper and just as good. So what did the NFL make of this research? Well, three teams have consulted with Thaler and Massey, and do you know how many took their advice? None. Another economist, David Romer, famously proved that football teams would win more games if they never punted, if they just went for it on the fourth down every time. Do you know how many teams use this? None. Only if they're desperate. But if both of these, done right, They could win teams an average of 2.5 games more a season. It is scientifically proven. But NFL owners, high thresholds. There are a bunch of women that were trying to get, Teresa's that were trying to get to run back and forth in traffic. It's not going to happen. Somebody's got to go first. So lots of people are going to have to go first. A radical will have to make a move. And more radicals will have to make a move after that. In Wilt Chamberlain's autobiography, he says about his shooting those underhanded free throws, he said, "I felt silly, like a sissy, shooting underhanded. I know I was wrong. I know some of the best foul shooters in history shot that way. Even now, the best one in the NBA, Rick Barry, shoots underhanded. I just couldn't do it." Now, Rick Barry also wrote an autobiography of his own. And it's super strange because sections of this autobiography, he just handed off to family members, his mom and his ex-wife, all who did not like him very much. And he just let them write whatever they wanted to write, and he did not censor them. He printed it. Rick Barry doesn't care what people say about him. That threshold is real low. So moving back to this big movement that is before us right now. People are no longer being silent in the face of harassment and inequality. And we are faced with this really high threshold being brought down by radicals willing to make a move. Willing to not care what people say about them and speak out. To share their stories of devastating assaults and discrimination. People standing up and sharing their pain, even though they know that they may not be believed and they may face persecution. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? God sent Jesus here to be the Word. Not just someone here to act righteous, but someone who truly expressed who God was. Jesus was a protester. He was a radical. Sometimes he was quiet about it, and sometimes he was provocative, and he disrupted the peace. He was a radical who was arrested, beaten, and put to death for standing up for what he believed in. And throughout the Bible, we see Jesus intervening and acting and speaking. He created dissent. He demonstrated, he questioned, and he defended, and he challenged. And from what you can tell by how this all ended up, this wasn't the popular way to behave. Jesus had a low threshold. People around him definitely had a high one. Jesus did not need others to go before him, before he would act. Jesus was bold. Jesus was the Word. And he had God backing him up. Guess what, guys? We have that too. We have a low threshold when it comes to acting for what is right and true and just. And other humans may have a tough time standing up and speaking out and putting themselves out there to make a change in the world. But Jesus went before us. The threshold is low. We can do this. It's been inspiring to see this Me Too and Time's Up movement grow and receive so much support. But it took a few brave voices, radicals that were willing to be called troublemakers, or whatever they've been called, to speak up and speak out, sharing their stories when they knew that they would get even more hurt in the process because it's the right thing to do. Putting good before what is usually accepted. Now, all 7'1" of Wilt Chamberlain could not even do this, even when he knew it was the right thing to do, in his own words. Humans thought it was strange, so we backed off. So let's not do that. Let's be strong enough to make an unpopular decision because we know that it's right. Not just for us, but for each other, for everyone in this room. Let's be lights. Let's be the Word. Let's be radicals. Knowing that the Word of God is Jesus, we can make a little more sense of the Word of God. Through the eyes of spiritual reasoning, we are brought to a place of faith and understanding. And the text also gives us a metaphor that we can understand a little more. It shows us that Jesus is the light of the world. Wherever Jesus shows up, light enters the atmosphere. It's an absolute truth that we can hold on to. And it's hard to see in the dark. It takes a little time for our eyes to adjust. We may not know what we're seeing at first, maybe silhouettes, familiar figures, but we're not sure what it is. And maybe it was hard for people at the time to know and accept Jesus because they had been in the darkness for so long. We're at a time like this right here and right now. There's always darkness surrounding these issues that are coming to light. When the light comes, we have to choose if we want to stay in the darkness. Do we want to stay anonymous? Or do we want to move forward into the light? Now, living in the light means that we may stir up controversy and calling attention to the things others might not want to see. But let's not hide from the light. Let's walk toward it. Let's shine in it. Let's live in it. Let us stand together as people of the light. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, in the times we feel alone and silent, let us feel your presence and love around us so that we can share your word of love, peace, and justice with the world. Amen.